I'm Francis Lam, and this is The Splendid Table, the show for curious cooks and eaters. 10 or 15 years ago or so, if you ever did any shopping at the Union Square Farmers Market, New York, or if you worked down in the financial district, or if you just happened to walk around Manhattan, really, you probably at some point heard someone going on like this.
All you do, you pull the scoop towards your thumb, use your thumb as a stop. Everybody can do this. Put it in the other hand, run that blade over, and you make those lovely carrot sunflowers. You give those to the kids, they'll eat their vegetables, they'll think it's candy. Now, whether you're right-handed, left-handed, or like a politician, underhanded, when you peel a potato or any kind of fruit and vegetable, all you take off that potato is a thin layer of skin. You get no waste, you do it in record time. Everyone has one of these in their drawer. They take too long, grandma gets arthritis. She'll peel a whole bucketful of potatoes, carrots, beets, using just one finger with my machine. You come to an eye in the potato, you scoop it out, there's the scoop. And if you love French fries, watch this. Use that scoop, pull it towards your thumb, you're gonna turn the whole potato into French fries in no time at all. Leave the skin on, they taste even better, and they're better for you. In fact, if you cook those without trans fats, wash them down with a glass of red wine, you'll never die. You'll live forever. Put it in the other hand, it's more than a peeler. Now it's a mandolin, a slicer. You hit that blade every time, you'll get a thin, even slice. You do apple for apple fritters, cucumber for cucumber salad. How long would it take to do that with a knife? Look, those slices are so thin.
Back then, it would have been a man doing that pitch for vegetable peelers, a legendary New York figure named Joe Otis. He was an older gentleman, always hunched down on this tiny stool with these buckets of vegetables around him, just covering himself in potato peels and flowers he'd cut out of carrots and charming everyone in sight while he was selling his vegetable peelers. You'd always kind of wonder how many peelers he'd sell, and the answer, it turned out, was probably a lot more than you would have guessed. He passed away a decade ago, and that voice that you heard before belongs to his daughter, Ruth Otis Laurent. Ruth, so that was incredible. You really do manage to make a vegetable peeler seem like humanity's greatest achievement. Do you even have a knife at home? Do you use a knife at home?
I have a knife for things that the peeler can't do, you know.
Which is hardly anything, for opening cans maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
So you learned to sell that peeler in that way from your father, Joseph Otis.
Right.
Who really has an amazing story. He's a legendary New York figure. Tell us about him.
Well, first of all, he loved living in New York more than all the other places where he lived.
Yeah.
Although he started working in Manchester. And then he was in London. He worked on fairs and markets all over England.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved to Australia. He worked throughout Australia. But he loved selling in New York. But he's been doing this kind of selling since he was 14, 15, since he left school.
Mm-hmm. And how did he get started?
Well, he needed money after the war. And there were bomb sites around Manchester.
Mm.
And people had
World
set up. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And markets were set up there. And he used to go, he had a job, I think as a kind of a messenger or something. And on his time off, he used to go to the bomb site. And there were men who became his mentors, pitchmen. We called them grafters in England, who sold all kinds of things using all kinds of skills to crowds of people. And so he was mesmerized by these men, and they were a lot older than him.
Mm-hmm.
And gradually, one by one, they took him under their wings.
Yeah.
And he had a nickname, Joe the Kid, because he was the youngest. And he, you know, after not very long, he started beating these older men at what they'd been doing for years.
I remember seeing him on the street. And he would set up on this corner that was two blocks from where I used to work. And I remember, you couldn't really see him. He was always hunched over, very low.
Right, that's right. So the reason he did that is because people are attracted to something that they can't see properly.
Mm.
So it would arouse the curiosity.
Yeah.
And also, when people are looking down at something, it just makes it easier to hold them there.
Oh,
to
that's
hold
so
the
interesting.
Crowd. Yeah. Yeah. So and occasionally he would look up and catch people's eye.
Yeah.
But no, he always worked low. One of the main places he worked was at Union Square at the Green Market. Most people who've seen my dad, they say, oh, yeah, we saw him at Union Square. And, you know, there would be this huge crowd and you couldn't see. There's no way you could see what he was doing because there's this huge crowd behind.
Yeah, nothing draws a crowd like a crowd.
Yeah, that's right.
And then I remember the moment when I opened up a magazine, Vanity Fair magazine, and I read a story about this person who sold peelers on the street. So he's covered in potato flakes all day.
Right.
By night, he would get dressed up in beautiful suits and hang out at the most Tony clubs and bars and restaurants. And
that's
he made
right.
a fabulous living doing this.
That's
and
right.
every single person who read that story in New York City said, I know that guy and I cannot believe it. So tell me about that.
Right.
He had this other life as
right.
this dandy.
Well, it actually it wasn't really another life. It
okay.
was... First of all, he went to work in those fabulous suits, which was one of the things that was so unusual about him. The only thing that he didn't wear were elegant shoes because you can't
them,
walk.
Yeah.
And also, like, he did so much walking, changing spots, for instance.
Yeah.
And this, again, goes back to that tradition of these the mentors who taught him many, many years ago. Like when you go to work, especially in the street, you dress well because you don't want anybody buying something because they feel sorry for you or anything like that. So when Dad even, like, he worked around Wall Street, you know, and there were all the wealthy stockbrokers, one of them's pointed to him one day, you know, and said, like, you've got a better suit than I have, you know. So the elegant dress was really a lot of who he was as a salesman as well as going out. But you're right. I mean, he used to go to the Pierre Hotel, which is where actually he met his fourth wife, Estelle, who he adored. She actually passed away a year before he did. She was an artist, a very elegant woman. And she would be there with her friends at the Pierre Hotel. And people, you know, who had never met him before, but he was charismatic in a bar.
I mean, sure.
He loved champagne. He loved the good things in life. And, you know, people couldn't believe, you know, that this is what he did during the day.
An hour ago.
Yeah. Or people would guess, and I wonder what he does, you know.
Yeah.
And the idea that he was just a street trader.
And so he passed away 10 years ago, almost exactly.
Almost exactly, yeah.
Why did you start selling peelers after he passed away?
Well, the main reason was that he passed away just couple of weeks after he got the last big shipment from Switzerland. And he used to import 25,000 pieces at a time.
Oh, wow.
So there were all these boxes, 40, 50 boxes stacked up in his apartment. And I knew that I could sell them. And so that's really when I kind of took his place, really. And he had said to me, he used to joke about it and say, now I've just had a big delivery of peelers. He says, you don't want me to snuff it right now, he says, because that's your inheritance. And sure enough, that's what happened. And so I didn't work nearly as often as Dad. You know, I was raising three daughters and they were in school and... So I have one, but literally one box left.
Oh, my goodness.
That I want to sell, but I don't want to sell.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. So actually, a little less than a whole box. Yeah. So, and I mean, I knew the pitch. I knew how to sell it. But when he was alive, I was very reluctant to sell the peeler. And I don't know why now, but I felt kind of intimidated. And because he was so well known for selling the peeler and his whole, his whole appearance and the whole package, you know, I didn't think that I could in any way approach that. But I did. And it was... It was very bittersweet, you know, every time I would sell, mostly in Brooklyn at the Green Market and at Borough Hall. And as soon as I'd sit down, people would come and, oh, that, you know, who that there was an old guy selling it, right? Yeah. You know, oh, that was my dad. Oh, that was your dad. Oh, we miss him so much. This is 10 years after. They yeah. still, you know, say, oh, you sound exactly like your dad. You know, I had a good teacher.
Thank you so much for coming in, Ruth, and sharing your story and your peelers with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure, and I hope you enjoy the peelers. And
for the rest of my life, apparently.
Exactly. Thank you.
Ruth Otis-Laurent is the owner of the restaurant La Ripaille in New York, and when the weather gets warmer, she'll be out there selling the last of her father's peelers at the Brooklyn Borough Hall Farmers Market. If you have one of her peelers or just one that you love, you can head to splendidtable.org for a whole mess of vegetable peeler-friendly recipes.